I wish I was more of a picture person. I didn't grow up that way. Some of you folks were, I think, born with a camera around your neck. And really, in some ways, that's great for especially the things like I got to do earlier this month in June. But I do have about six still photos. And I have a couple of videos I want to show you tonight. And then just got a brief little follow-up to what I want to show you about the trip to Torreon, Mexico. Brother Scott, we'll start with the pictures, okay, just the still photos. And this is the Iglesia Bautista Biblica de la Gracia, which I think is Grace Bible Baptist Church. That's in Torreon, and that is the main church building in this city of a million people. And you'll see a picture or some video from inside the building here in just a minute. And by the way, I want to say a big thank you to Doyce and Scott Stone, Sarah McGraw. A lot of these folks helped. These were all taken with my phone, and they helped. They were upside down, and I don't know. It was crazy. But anyway, it's all fixed somewhat for tonight. So that's the main church building where the family conference was held. To the right, they have some more property, and actually you can see, I wish I had my pointer, but you can see a building that has started there. It is under construction. It's going to be a 2- or 3-story building for their institute, their school, and their church to use, okay? So you can kind of see where they're starting to build. Everything's concrete block. That's how they make their buildings. Everything's concrete block. Okay. Go ahead, Brother Stone. I just took this picture. You can see that, right? That type mountain range surrounds the entire city. It goes in a complete circle. And from there north, there's just miles and miles and miles of those kind of mountains, just cactus, desert, dry, sandy soil. But that's just a picture of the mountains that surround this valley where Torreon is located, okay? That is the second largest statue of Jesus in the world. Rio de Janeiro has the biggest one, okay? And that's the second largest statue. Do you know also that Pope Paul's, who was the previous pope, not Benedict, but the one before him, John Paul II. And that's interesting how Larry's up on all that Catholicism stuff. Yeah, okay. His ashes are in Torreon. And the only reason they do that, it's a money-making thing. He said, what connection did he have to Torreon? He said, none. None, no connection. But that's where his ashes are. And this is on the highest point in the city. And this is a Catholic church, and that's the second largest statue of Jesus in the world. And there's Jesus amongst all the cell phone towers. And so, and unfortunately, the cell phone towers are taller than Jesus. So, but they probably bring in more money than Jesus does here, okay? So, okay, next video. This is Torreon. A million people there. And that is just facing one direction. And way off in the distance, you can see that mountain range I was talking about. And if you did a 360-degree turn, this is what you'd see. This city, it's just a vast, vast city. It's got some, you know, some railway there. And it's for Mexico, it's a modern city. And so, what was there? Oh, goodness, I'm trying to, what was there? A humongous factory that NAFTA brought down there, Bill Clinton era, right? I asked this guy, what is that factory? He said, I don't know. He said, they make parts for automobiles there. And I said, that's NAFTA. That's what that is. I saw the jobs that went to Mexico. Okay, but anyway, it's got some industry. So that's Torreon. It's a huge city. Okay, and this is the building. This is 45 minutes outside of Torreon. You can't quite see the words La Loma, a little village of about 1,200 people, I believe it is. This is Francisco Cuellar, the son. Okay, his dad is also Francisco Cuellar. But they've named this little church plant the same name as their main church. And their goal is to plant little Grace Bible Baptist churches in all the little villages outside of Torreon. And so they've got one going here. Again, concrete block building. I wish I'd have taken a picture of the inside for you. Just got a finished concrete floor and benches. Okay, next one. And this is two of the men. Now, I know, you know, they look pretty rough, but this is during the daytime, and they're working out there. They actually stay. They sleep in the building at night to keep it protected from vandals. Then they go to their homes during the day, and then they were out there when Brother Francisco and I went out to look at this building. Brother Francisco, you can see inside there, it's got a suspended ceiling and concrete block walls, finished concrete floor. And that's it. That's just what their buildings are. But, you know, and they've got some ceiling fans, which is very, very nice, just to push the 106-degree air around, okay? So that's a blessing. Now, is that all the still photos? Is there any more still photos, or is that it? That's number six. Okay, very good. So there's the sum total of my six photos that I took while I was there. I'm ashamed of that. I'm sorry. My wife says, you didn't do very good. I know that was a bad thing. So now, which video we got? We got the combined video. So here's 5 minutes, 42 seconds. Can you pause? Will you be able to pause this so I can make some comments? Okay, very good. Let's start it. And this is in the main church building. You pause it just for a second, Brother Scott. If you were here, okay, see the man on the far right here in the white shirt? Now go two over from him, if you can see that kind of an olive shirt. Okay, last Wednesday night, that's the guy I talked about. Reached as a teenager some years ago with studs in all in his ears, studs in his nose, stud in his tongue, stud in his belly button. And now he is married. They had their first baby. Their baby was dedicated during the family conference. He's one of the most humble, quiet, you never would have guessed that guy had that kind of background, but God has just changed his life completely. And he is the main musician for the church. He's an engineer, works for Caterpillar. There's a Caterpillar plant there. And he's an engineer. He's a young man with a brilliant. He plays every kind of instrument there is. And so that's who he is in the olive shirt. Okay, go ahead. Thank you. Stop it just a minute again, Brother Scott. Okay, the girl, the first lady with the guitar, white blouse, that's Pastor Cuellar. Okay, the guy in the white shirt is Pastor Cuellar's only son. And then the girl in the white blouse playing the guitar is his youngest daughter. And then come all the way from the left over here, the farthest left as you can go, that is another one of his daughters. So his daughters are, he got another daughter who doesn't sing. But four of his kids are adults and involved in the church there. He's got another daughter in Little Rock, Arkansas. So, okay, there we go. of course, the pastor's son, Francisco Cuellar. Brother Abraham supports him as a missionary. And then that's his oldest, his sister, the oldest girl singing, who's involved in the church there. And she actually, you're going to see another video in a second of a man leading the congregational singing. That man is Pastor Cuellar Sr.'s right-hand man, and he is courting this daughter. And they're probably going to get married. Okay, let me... Second from the right, playing the guitar, is Brother Francisco's oldest daughter. And this girl where the microphone wire is showing through right here in the front, that's his second daughter. Okay? So that's this man's two children. Okay, this is the school. I'm sorry. Yeah. That's the guy who is courting the pastor's daughter. Okay? Sorry about that. Go ahead. Wait, it's your own. Okay, now, this is Sunday morning, okay? This is not just the school kids. This is a lot of their church kids. They really dress up. And so this is Sunday morning. This guy right here is in a wheelchair. He has muscular dystrophy. He can't walk. But he plays the guitar and he sings. Got a great spirit. I talked to him several times. This boy right here in the front, you can just see his head and shoulders there. Okay. This is Pastor Jesus Mercado from Durango, Mexico. Don't forget him. We're going to see him in a video in just a minute. He preached the conference in the conference as well. He is from Durango. Great guy. Carrying a real heavy burden during this conference, but this is him preaching just for a few seconds.
Es aún más difícil. ¿Verdad? Y dice Josué en el versículo 23, quitad pues ahora. ¿Qué respondió el pueblo? A Jehová serviremos. Conforme a lo que tu palabra dice, conforme a lo que tú nos muestras cada día, Padre Celestial. Bendito alabado seas. Gracias, Padre Santo.
That's Pastor Cuellar Sr. This is one of the invitations after one of the services. Okay.
Bendice a cada uno que está en sus rodillas tomando la decisión, hablando contigo, poniendo claramente las cosas en su mente y en su corazón. Obra, Padre Celestial, que esto se traduzca en hogares firmes, en hogares que viven para la gloria de Dios, que invierten sus vidas, invierten a sus familias, a sus hijos, a sus nietos, a sus bisnietos, hasta la generación que tú les permitas ver, Padre Celestial.
This is Sunday, Sunday morning or Sunday night, but this is when it was 106, and they just got open air in the back there. You know, the doors are open, and the ceiling fans are going, and the pastor's son took this video for me, okay? That the couple in the front row right there, that's Pastor Mercado in the tie. And the couple right across the aisle from him is his daughter and son-in-law. And they had two children. Okay.
Gracias por la comida.
This is the pastor, senior pastor, Brother Cuellar.
Que dieron para los pastores, los invitados, hermanos, la verdad que una bendición tremenda. ¿Amén, hermanos?
Okay, that's it. That's the first one. All right, very good. So that is just a compilation of different some of the singing and the preaching and so anyhow. Now, the next video I want to show you is this Pastor Mercado. And I might have mentioned it to you where they go up into the villages and the mountains twice a year. And this is their last trip up there. And it was amazing to me. I asked them to send me the video, but it came by way of email. I'm not sure about the quality of it, but you should be able to make out at least something. But this was fascinating to see this. This is about 7 minutes long. It's about their trip up to, and it's in Spanish. Okay, so, but you'll be able to get a gist of what's happening here. And what they do in these mountain villages. Okay. Some of the roads they travel on to get there. That's Pastor Mercado's wife. They live in tents. Find them here in the villages. They stay in these tents. The last trip before this one is when they put that church building up, and what they're doing now is they're going back to build the roof. And you're going to see where they take a chainsaw, go in the woods, cut the tree down, square it up, cut the boards with the chainsaw to make the trusses. That's what this video is about. Go ahead. Thank you. cutting those truss boards by hand.
Por la vía dolorosa al Calvario. Sería en Jerusalén, los soldados le abrían paso a Jesús, mas la gente se acercaba para ver al que llevaba aquella cruz.
Those folks would walk 18 hours to be in that service over the mountains. They walk 18 hours from other villages. This is the only building up there in that whole mountain area. Okay? And you see they've cut the trusses and they're going to start building the roof. Okay? Some of the people from La Loma of the Cuellar's church that went up to help. They took that tin on the top of that van from Durango all the way up to the mountains.
Thank you.
That's okay. I think the rest of it's in Spanish. So, I don't know about you. That touched my heart to see that. And to think that them going up and doing that work by hand. And you understand that none of them have a house to live in that's as nice as that church building. That church building is the nicest thing that any of them have to go to. But that's what they think about God and church. It's unbelievable. I asked, they're going back. He goes to twice a year. He's going back again. I said, Brother McCardo, what is your greatest? What are you doing this time? He said, I'm building benches. He's a welder. He said, we will go back to the woods. We'll cut the lumber for the seat and the back. But he said, I'm building the frames for those benches. So how much do they cost? He said, about $150 per bench. And he said, we need 25 pews, 25 benches. And he said, they come, they sit down, and they don't leave. And he preaches, and they don't leave. And he preaches, and they don't leave. And finally, he has 7 or 8 sermons. He just says, I'm done. You're going to have to leave. And so he's going to have to put these frames together for these benches, $150 a piece. And I told him that I would ask our church if we could send $500 to help make those frames for those benches. And I told him we'd try to have the money to him before July the 1st. He needs to get the iron, get the bolts and all the hardware, and start. And they'll actually take the frames with them from Durango up to the mountains, and then they'll go into the woods and they'll cut the wood. Isn't that amazing? With a chainsaw, they cut those wood. That's amazing to me. And so that's what I'd like to ask the church, if that would be okay to do, to send $500 from our missions fund surplus, I'm going to send the money to Brother Cuellar, and then he'll get the money to Brother Mercado for this effort, because you saw the building. It filled up with people, and as they come from all over, little villages up there in the mountains. So that's the move I need to make tonight to suggest to the church. Thank you, Noyes. Is there a second, John? Is there any discussion on that? What we want to do? Yes, sir. Yeah, that's a good idea. I didn't think about that. That's right. That would be 4 benches. That'd be 4 benches. That's a good idea. Okay. And then here's what I'd like to do. We don't have a lot of surplus money, and we got some other stuff I know coming down the pike that we need to take care of. But I'd like to take the offering tonight for the same project. So whatever we vote to give, 600 or whatever, if you want to do something personally, I'm going to put a little something in the plate tonight. Whatever we give tonight will go above what we vote on as a church. Does that make sense? Okay. Ray, you had your hand up. $150 a bench. And I don't know the size of them. I'm sure that's probably two or three legs per bench. And then it's $150 per bench because of the iron and the bolts and all that stuff. So, sir, we'll send the money on Monday. We'll send the money on Monday. So if somebody wants to give something, you can put it in the plate on Sunday too. But we'll take this. So the move right now is 600. That's a good idea. Make it enough for four benches. It's an odd number. So the 600, is that okay? Do I see that we move that to 600? All right. Okay. Any discussion? Any questions? If you want to contribute something and you're not prepared tonight, you can do that Sunday. I don't know if I remember to say something about it, but get it in an envelope, and we need to get it sent out Monday, okay, because they're starting to put these together now. Okay, so 600 for mission surplus to help Pastor Jesus Mercado with these benches for the church that you just saw. Okay, all in favor of that, amen? And is any opposed? That's a blessing, isn't it? It's a blessing to be able to help somebody like that. Look at Revelation chapter 5. I see the time. I promise you, I will not be long tonight. I just want to follow up with something on my heart after being in Mexico and seeing this good work. Good possibility. They asked me to come back next year. I can't do it next year, but there's a good possibility that Joyce and myself will go down and do another family conference in a couple years. So it's a great place. They're very, very hungry people. Father, bless our brief time in your word, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation 5, 9, and 10, and they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now, I think you know in this part of Revelation, we are privileged to see into heaven after the rapture through the eyes of John the Beloved, who was exiled on the Isle of Patmos, and there God gave him that great book of Revelation. Chapter 3 ends with the Laodicean church age, and then chapters 4 and 5, Laodicean church age, is what the state of the Christian church on earth at the coming of Jesus in the rapture. Okay? So you go right from chapter 3 to chapter 4. In chapter 4, God gave John a glimpse into heaven in chapters 4 and 5 of what happens after the rapture. Now, there's much I could say about verses 9 and 10. But I want to capture the wording of verse 9 for just a brief moment tonight. This is the song that is sung by the 24 elders, okay? You see them in verse number 8. Now, these 24 elders, most people believe them to represent the Jews and the Gentiles that have been saved. You got the 12 tribes of Israel, you got the 12 apostles, and they talk about these 24 elders representing all of Christendom, okay? And they sing a song in verse number 9 whose theme was about the worthiness of the Lamb. And there are some reasons given for the Lamb's worthiness in verse number 9. So they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. And here's the reason why, Lamb of God, Jesus, you are worthy. First of all, because of His death, burial, and resurrection. The first thing mentioned there. Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain. Now, folks, quickly, the fact that they were singing to Him around the throne that He was sitting on, and they referred to the fact that He was dead, means that He now was alive. Does that make sense? And so He did die, and He was buried, and He did rise again, and here they are. The first thing they're singing about as far as His worthiness goes is the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. And throughout the ages to come, the Lamb of God is going to be praised over and over again for His death, His burial, and His resurrection. Why not? Without that, we have no hope of heaven, no hope of eternal life. So they're singing because He's worthy because of His death, burial, and resurrection. He's also worthy because His blood redeems sinners to God. Look at it. And hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. I thought about that song. With the blood washed throng, I will shout and sing just over in the glory land. Glad hosannas to Christ the Lord and King just over in the glory land. And one of the reasons we'll sing to Him in that day is because of the blood that redeemed us. Amen. The price of redemption has always been and will always be the blood of an innocent. And Jesus was the final innocent one whose blood was shed once and for all for the remission of sin. So they're singing to Him because He's worthy, because of His death, burial, resurrection, because His blood redeems sinners to God. And then thirdly, they're singing to Him because He's worthy, because His salvation is universal. Look at the end of verse 9. Out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. The gospel message and the blood of Jesus Christ has redeemed people out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And folks, there's going to be a universal gathering of saints who've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, trusted in the gospel message, and they're going to come from everywhere. And you and I are going to be a part of that. The Bible says, out of every kindred. Now that word speaks of the families of the earth. Out of all families of the earth, there's going to be folks saved and in heaven. Out of every tongue, that speaks of every language and dialect. There will not be a language or a dialect on planet earth that won't be represented around the throne someday. And then you've got the out of every kindred, out of every tongue. And then it says out of every people. That speaks of the people groups. Sometimes there's more than one people group that make up the population of a country. Okay? You think about over in Iraq right now, that's in the news. You've got the Kurds in the northern part of Iraq. They're their own people group. Over in Egypt, you've got goodness, that begins with a C. I can't think of that word right now. But they're the Coptics, their own people group over there. So there's more than one people group sometimes that make up a country. And he uses the word nation at the end. That's self-explanatory. But not only the nation, every people group from within the nation. So people from everywhere will be gathered, all of us redeemed to God the same way through the shed blood of Jesus Christ that is a part of the death, burial, and resurrection that makes up the gospel. Can you imagine what heaven is going to be like someday? It's just, you know, I'm not sure how many of our preconceived notions and ideas are really going to be realized. But, you know, being there in that place with multiplied thousands of people all rejoicing to song in Jesus Christ, that's going to be a sight to behold, friend. And those people that you saw on that screen tonight are going to be gathered around that throne with you and me. It's just a blessing. And I wish all of you would have the same privilege that I have of once in a while going to the mission field. I want to tell you something. It is extremely humbling to meet some of God's people on the mission field like that. I mean, to see those guys go up in the mountains and with a chainsaw, fell a tree, square it up, and cut the boards to make the trusses by hand. That's humbling. That's humbling. And it does you good to go to the mission field. To me, it seems that the main harvest in the world today is among the brown and dark-skinned peoples of the world. From Latinos to Arabs to Africans. There's a great many of them coming to salvation. And again, I've said before, any large, predominantly white-skinned church on the continent of Europe and North America always has a thriving Hispanic work or some other immigrant-based ministry attached to it. You can't find a large, missionary, predominantly white-skinned church in Ireland that isn't reaching a lot of refugees from the dark-skinned people. It's how it is right now. It's true about every large white, predominantly white church. Now, all the people you know in the world are descendants of one of Noah's three boys, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Of course, there has been some crossing over the lines over the years, but we know that Shem was the Jewish line. And the gospel obviously came to the Jew first, as Jesus came to His own. And He spent those 3.5 years public ministry amongst the Jews. People, the vast percentage of folks saved during Jesus' earthly ministry were Jews. They were Jews. And then Paul took the gospel to the Gentiles. We talked about that last week. The European peoples of the world, which is the group to whom Paul took the gospel. And those people came from Japheth. And then they're the ones that migrated over here to the United States of America and Canada and those places, okay? And that only leaves one major group of people. That's the descendants of Ham, who are the dark-skinned people. And we know the main harvest is not among the Jewish people right now. You know, that's just a hand, the gleanings of Jews being saved. And the truth of the matter is, I think there was a main harvest for a number of years among the European peoples, including those in Europe and in North America, Australia and New Zealand. But that's not where the main harvest is today. It's obvious what's going on in the world today, as far as the harvest of souls is concerned, that last group, that descendants of Ham, are being reached by the thousands. Thousands and tens of thousands of them are coming to Christ. And that's exciting to me, because what group is left for the gospel to be taken to? It went from the Jews to the line of Japheth, and now it's in the line of Ham. And these people are being reached, and all three major groupings of people on planet Earth have been influenced by the gospel. So it's exciting to me to see these brown and dark skinned ministries just flourishing, like down in Central America and South America. South America is more European than some of the countries than it is Latin American, and over in Africa and other parts of the world where the dark-skinned people, and even in the Arab world, there's a bunch of Arabs that are getting saved right now. So that's an exciting thing. And, you know, I said before, I make no apology for being an American and for enjoying the modern conveniences we're blessed to have in America. I make no apology for that. But it does give me pause to see what relative little some of them have and how hungry they are for the things of God. Now, I do believe that they're used to their lifestyle. That's what they're used to. They don't think it's anything. It's how they grew up. It's how they've been for centuries. And many of them fall by the wayside, just like they do here in many converts in the States. But comparatively speaking, they have very little of this world's good. And yet, she sang the song tonight about only Jesus can satisfy your soul. And that's what they found out. They've learned that, you know, it's not the abundance of material things that puts peace in your heart. They have very little and still have the same peace that you and I have. It's not things, it's God. It's peace of being saved. And you know, something else strikes me. I'll mention this and I'll pray. Something else strikes me when I travel to distant places like this. And that is this. What they are now is what we used to be some time ago. And here is what I mean. Take a trip in a time machine, if you could, back in the States, back to the 70s or 80s in fundamental Baptist churches. And that is what I see in these churches on the mission field, in these groups of people. And what's so amazing to me, all the chatter and all the junk on the Internet, if we were so misguided, if we were so misguided and so wrong, as some would have us to believe, if we were so misguided to have separation standards, standards in music and dress and entertainment, then my question is, how come all those churches have those things now? I don't buy it. I think it's first love Christianity. That's what I think. I think first love Christianity, and that's what was going on here in the 70s and 80s with multiplied thousands of Americans being saved, probably the last great move of God that this country may ever experience. Maybe we'll see another one. But there was first love Christianity, and there was no problem with separating. You're so happy to be saved, so happy to be out of the world, why would you argue about separation? And that's what they have. You know, is that strange? Or are those things the normal and natural result of Bible salvation? And subsequent growth in grace? They are now what we were 30 years ago. What we had no problem being 30 years ago. What a lot of people have a problem with us being now. Separated in our dress, our entertainment, our music. A lot of Baptist American people in Baptist churches like this one have a problem with that now. We didn't 30 years ago, and they don't now. Y'all with me? You understand what I'm saying? Here's what it is, folks. I believe they don't have a watered-down, worldly version of Christianity yet because they're in the first love stages. They're in the first love stages. And you know what? First love stage would be a good place for you and me to stay. And first love stage does not mind separation from the world when it brings us closer to Jesus Christ. And that's just from being on these mission fields in third world countries. And I mean actually sitting in the service and getting to know the people and experiencing it firsthand. Is they are what we were 30 years ago. And excited about it. Just an observation. It's called First Love Christianity. It really is. And that's where we need to stay. And it was a blessing to go. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. I did not put the cost of this trip on these people. We paid for it with our credit card miles that we get by using the credit card. And I did not take a love offering. They brought an envelope. It had a bunch of pesos stuffed in it. And they brought it to me, and I said, absolutely not. I'm not taking it. Absolutely not. And it didn't cost them. They raised some money to put me in an air-conditioned motel room, and I was thankful for that. Amen. And that was enough. Let's stand together. Thanks for coming tonight. It's been a busy night of videos and pictures, but I hope you got a blessing from that, seeing that tonight. Father, I love you, and I love your word, and I love the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what a blessing to know that one of these days we're going to stand shoulder to shoulder with these people and others, thousands of others from around the world, out of every kindred and tongue and family and nation, people and nation, out of every one of them, Lord, we're going to stand there and we're going to sing praises to Jesus who is worthy. Lord, keep us close to the first love stage of Christianity. May we be so excited about being forgiven from our sin and having a home in heaven that it doesn't grind on us to separate from the world. Lord, help us to get back to that type Christianity here in our own church and other churches of like mind here in the States. Keep us ready for when you come, Jesus, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, just a simple verse.